So I'm just going to, we're going to try, we'll try and speed it up, say a little bit about what the students said about their sense of their progress in learning English. We're going to do, but we'll get straight to that. Most learners report that their English improves, but we also get a lot of comments from the students when they finish the AMEP during the course of the 12 months, talking about how it deteriorates or how they stop using English after they leave the AMEP, such as this comment.
So this is a female Korean speaker, and she's from Sanpanten, which is accessory 3 plus level. And she here is speaking to Alan, Alan said, okay, so what do you think you are using English? 40% of the time? And then she said, from this time, I stopped the class. Okay. So when I stay at home, I think more than 90% I speak Korean. So just a small amount of English, Alan said. And she said, yes, when I go outside.
Okay, so connecting with that point that the AMEP is a really important site for the students to be using English. And the mouse is talking to the computer. Okay. One of the things we asked for in the interviews. Oh, good heavens! Maybe we should just go to lunch. Okay, right, back to that. One of the things we did in the interviews was ask the students to draw little networks of how they used English, where they used English, where they used other languages, who they used them with. We didn't get complete data for everyone all the time, and there was also different formats in which people drew these. But when we looked at those that we could look at, about half the participants, and there were about, I think it was 59 in this group, showed that they did increase their use of English over time, compared to using other languages. About a third reported they were using about the same proportion, and about one-seventh reported a decrease. So, okay, for that smaller sample, there was an increase in them using English over the 12 months. This is still honest. Okay. What learners identified as weaknesses at the beginning, and generally we're talking in terms of the macro skills, what they said was their weakness early in the 12 months, they also tended to report was their weakest thing as the project went on. So what starts as a weakness remains as a weakness. Okay, and we've got a comment here from the Mandarin speaker.
This is from Center 8, which is accessory 1 center. And this is an example from a female Mandarin speaker from quarter 2. So the interviewer asked, and did you ever use English after you finished school in China? And with the help of the interpreter, she said, no. Okay, all right. Well, so what was your English like when you arrived in Australia? And she said, very poor. Very poor, okay. So since you've been in Australia, has your English improved? Yes, at least I'm better in listening. Okay, so what has improved? Your listening has improved a lot. What about your speaking? Speaking is not that good. And reading and writing? Okay, good. Is there anything that has happened that has made you realize either that your English has improved or that your English still needs to improve? So I find that my reading and writing is not too bad, I can manage, but speaking I still need a lot of improvement. So what she said was a weakness at the beginning.
Just speaking, yeah. Okay. A lot of the students did have a prior experience of learning English in another country before they arrived in Australia. That often influences what they want out of the AMEP. Once they arrive here, they realise that their learning was deficient in some area. And so we've got an example of this here.
This is from Assessway 2 level class, and the participant is a female order speaker from quarter 2. So the interviewer asks, yeah, so when you first came to Australia, were you confident that your English would be good enough? And she replied, no, my speaking was not confident about my speaking. Only reading and writing was good, but the speaking was, I think, a little bit confusion for me. And listening also, and the interviewer asked, was it? Because I have listened more and more in my country, so sometimes we watch English movies, but it was not a good practice for me.
Australian English, I think I mentioned this yesterday, and also cultural factors and the way that we use the language here, it was something a lot of learners who had learned English before had difficulty with. And although they say they adjusted to it, it was something they didn't expect at the beginning. And we've got a little interchange here.
This is actually our favourite example. This is from center 2, which is accessory 3 level, from male Hindi speakers. And the English that we speak in Australia, yeah, is different to India, yeah. India got more, they speak like British English. This is proper grammar and all that, speak properly, they don't speak properly. Yeah, so they, a little bit difficult that one. English field research was like, that's because we come from Puerto Rico.
So,
thank you for not identifying
I think it is. I think that illustrates the way the some reciprocity in the interviews that we there were jokes and exchanges. It wasn't just a one-way process. Learners who had a strong awareness of English grammar find, not surprising to us, to people that have done the sort of training that we've got, but find that what they encounter, what they hear, what they see doesn't match their expectations of English. So they say we don't recognise what we're hearing and what people are saying to us. Learners report that they want to improve their speaking skills so that they sound like an Australian. Learners who report pronunciation difficulties. Now, we've had a lot of discussion in this about the office. What are the languages that the learners... We should have had Beth there to say, well, what's the characteristics of the languages spoken by the learners who have the greatest difficulties with pronunciation? We thought the tonal languages seem to be one characteristic. And the others are that they've got different stress patterns than English. English has got a stress time rhythm to it, whereas other languages have syllable times. But it's not completely regular patterns. But we think there's something going on there. If there's something different in the nature of the L1 in those two areas, that seems to have an impact on the pronunciation. Are we on track there, Beth, or are you going to correct me?
Yeah, possibly.
Okay. Good. Beth wants to have lunch too. Some learners, we saw yesterday, some of the learners report using communication strategies to overcome their shortcomings. Some of them using a combination of English and L1 words to try and address some shortcoming. The more that learners are exposed to English, the more they're aware of weaknesses in their weaknesses. And so we've got an example here of a pronunciation class. Before we look at that, I sort of mention one of the students in the group of Mandarin speakers who we had at Vickers Centre, quite low, not making much progress with their spoken English. And interestingly enough, in the last interviews, when we asked them to rate themselves on how good their speaking was, the student whose English was the best amongst this group was the one who rated herself the lowest, which illustrates the problem with self-ratings. But what was going on there? She was one who was married to an English-speaking spouse, and her whole life was in English, and she was realising that the gap that she had to make up was much greater than the others who were able to live their lives largely in Chinese. And so I think that exposure to English actually does make the learners realise that the enormity of the task that they're facing.
Now, this is from an Assessway 3 centre, which is centre 9, and I think Sunny and Laura also mentioned yesterday that by the time they get to level 3, they're usually a lot more articulate about what they recognize as their problems and their learning strategy. So this is a female Mandarin speaker in quarter 4, and the interviewer asked, yeah, okay, but you feel that the class has helped you, do you think? At least in pointing at you know what needs to be improved. It makes me more conscious about my pronunciation, such as you know before I say Asia. Yeah, but actually the right pronunciation is Asia. Yeah. So now I know, and another thing is, as you know, the teacher asks us to have a stop from time to time. Right, okay, yeah, instead of just pressing all the words together. Yeah. continue and make it sound. Yeah, now I got to realize that it's a problem, but now I haven't got much improvement at this point, but I just know it. Yeah. Also, I came to realize my pronunciation is not good enough. Yeah, so I guess it's good that you come to the realization so you can improve it for the IELTS testing, which is going to go through. And the other example that I remember from this participant, it's actually what Vicky was saying as well. She's always thought that the important thing about pronunciation is to just pronounce everything clearly. So she used to say banana, and she realized that was wrong. It's meant to be banana, and she didn't realize that it was a pronunciation class, and she also said that it was effective.
Okay, so when we looked at different groups, the sensory levels, the gender, we found that what the learners said in there, in terms of their progress, there wasn't any great patterns of difference between those different groups that we looked at for other aspects of the data. But there were significant variations for some L1 groups, and the speakers of Chinese languages were the most remarkable one that stand out in this area. Because they've learnt this way before, they see written language. They talk about relying on written language, written books, dictionaries. Going to the hospital, someone says something to them, they don't quite understand it, they ask the person to write it down, they go home and study it. So they're really taking the written language as the basis of their learning. But they also want to improve their speaking skills. They report being reliant on dictionaries, and one of our participants would proudly show us the dictionary that she carries around with her everywhere, and whatever interaction she has, she's pulling out the dictionary and relying on that. And then when they do get people to write things down for them, they'll go home and look at it as a translation of what it is, work that way. They talk about their progress in learning as memorisation based on looking at the written words and memorising them, or looking at the structures, the sentence structures, and looking at them. And we saw that in that quotation yesterday from Leo, as his pseudonym, who talked about the experience of having to memorise their 50 words a week. And they find, of course, that gap between spoken and written language, what they're expecting to see and hear is not what they actually see and hear, and they're having trouble matching that up. They blame themselves for their shortcomings, and they think the solution's to work harder, and in a way they're going home and using the same strategies to work harder, thinking that it's not working because they're not doing enough hard work. They say their reading and writing has improved, but their speaking and listening hasn't. And we've got a bit of a comment from one of those learners here.
This is a male Mandarin speaker from Center 8, which is a Sesway 3 level, and he's talking here. And he's talking here about the difficulty of constructing sentences and memorizing vocabulary. Where he said, "Okay, actually, I speak very slowly. The reason for me to speak slowly is that I'm afraid that people will not understand me. And when you speak slowly, do people understand? Well, generally, they can understand me, although I have some defects in my grammar." And I mean the order of words and places, but they can understand me in generally speaking. I go to city. Okay, I notice that my major problem in speaking is that because I don't know how to link up some words so that they can be structured on sentence such as I go to city. Sometimes I forgot how I can connect these words so that it can be a complete sentence. I understand that I need to try harder at learning English, but I will appreciate if you could help me with the connection of different words and vocabulary. I think learning vocabulary is kind of a personal thing that I understand. I need to learn and remember the vocabulary, but my problem is that I don't know how to link up those vocabulary so that I can utter complete sentences.
And he's not talking about phonological linking. He's talking about grammatical, producing nicely grammatically structured sentences. The African speakers of the African languages say their speaking's okay, but they still have a bit of trouble with Australian accents, and they're making slow progress with their reading and writing. I think that's one of those ones that won't surprise anyone. Just some other individual experiences. One Eastern European learner who says she writes very much as she uses a phonetic sort of form of spelling, where she's writing as she hears the sounds, and of course that doesn't produce correct spelling. Another Eastern European learner who, she's quite interesting because early in the program, actually alluded to her yesterday, she was very, in many ways, very similar to the Chinese learners who had, she'd learnt in a very formal way. She'd learnt French at school, she'd learnt English at school, and she'd worked as an accountant in a country of origin. She'd come to Australia, she'd married an Australian, and she was very, at the beginning, she was very constrained in what she said, and in the interview she said, I'm very, very scared of making mistakes. And then in the third quarter when we interviewed her, not only had her fluency increased dramatically, she just looked a lot more confident. And I said, so tell me what's happened since the last time I saw you. And what had happened is she got a job in a delicatessen just before Christmas in that busy period. And she said it wasn't very good for the first couple of weeks because she wanted to speak very carefully and make sure she didn't make any mistakes. But then when she started getting into trouble at work because it was taking too long, she just realised that she just had to go with the flow and she could understand what people said and people could understand her. And so she stopped worrying about making the mistakes. And then she said, and at home things got much better because she's got a 16-year-old stepson. And she said, oh, things hadn't been going very well with him. But once I didn't worry so much about making mistakes, I started talking to him much better and he started talking to me and we now get on quite well. So I thought that was very telling. Mm-hmm. I think that sort of got me
learning. Yeah, that's the system that Alan was talking about, the whole concept of 10, which is that's way great. So I have to communicate with people and I like to communicate with people. Right, yeah. But also the job has opened up new things, like you've made new friends. Yes, that's good. And it's also helped your relationship with your stepson. Yes, 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 that's good. And made me confident in my ability or something like that. Right, yeah. So what is it okay? Are there still things that you think you can improve in your English? Oh, yes. I still have my old habits. And this habit is reflecting not only before in the writing, but it's reflecting in my speaking. So still I have problem with my syntax and grammar because grammatical types. Does that worry you very much? Not really, no. Okay, so I think that's a difference too because I think you were more worried about that 6 months ago. Yes, I was very worried. Yeah, but now when you're talking to people, you just talk about what you're talking about. Yes, and you don't worry too much.
Did I say that?
But not only that, when you listen to people, you can uncatch the good way to speak. Okay, so the both is working both ways. Okay, right now, as you've already said, your conversation with people in the shop, there's a lot of speaking.
Yes, you talked about reading a science fiction book. Okay, so to sum up, because you're hungry. Participation in AMEP classes helps learners have a sense that they're making progress in their learning of English. They have some difficulties coming to grips with Australian English, especially spoken English. And the prior experience of language learning can influence what learners want to get out of the AMEP. And just some things to think about as you have your lunch. That question of weaknesses, is that reasonable that that's the weakness that you start with, you go through the AMEP and that's still a weakness when you get to the end? Or should there be some sense of working on what the weaknesses are to try and even things up? Just a question, a challenge to throw out to you to think about. The Mandarin speakers or other students who have similar experiences and of approaches to learning language in that way, what are the issues that they face with this reliance on spoken English, which I think is holding them back in their progress? My instincts as a teacher is to say, if you're over-reliant on the written language, try and put that aside and develop an awareness of the spoken language. But it's more complex than that because there are culturally framed attitudes about speaking in class. I know in Japanese society, I think there's a saying that the nail that sticks up gets hammered down, saying, you know, you're not expected to speak up and say things. That's true in some of the other East Asian cultures. And that general question, which I guess is a general question, the whole issue of talking about focus on form in language teaching and second language acquisition, is when is knowing the rules and actually a help and a support to making progress, and when is a focus and attention on the rules, when does that focus on the rules of the language system become a hindrance to making progress? Okay, we'll leave it at that. And I hope that gives you something to think about over lunch.